Good morning. We interrupt the Diane Rehm Show for special coverage of the verdict in the trial of Officer Cesar Goodson. I'm Tom Hall, the host of Maryland Morning here at WYPR. Officer Cesar Goodson, 46 years old, 17 years with the Baltimore City Police Department, lives in Catonsville. He was the driver of the van in which Freddie Gray was placed on April 12, 2015. He faces the most serious charges of all six officers indicted in the arrest and death of Freddie Gray. And we are, as we speak, awaiting a verdict from Judge Williams. Officer Goodson opted for a bench trial as opposed to a jury trial. So we will have a verdict one way or the other at some point. Court was scheduled to open at 10 o'clock this morning. We have two people in the courtroom. Kenneth Burns, WYPR's Metro reporter, is there, as well as Debbie Hines. She is a Washington, D.C.-based trial lawyer and a former Baltimore prosecutor. She and Kenny are inside the courtroom. Joining us outside the courtroom is Rachel Bay, WYPR's reporter, who also covers Annapolis. Here in the studio, I'm joined by F. Michael Higginbotham. He is a professor at the University of Baltimore School of Law, along with Ray Kelly. He's the president of the No Boundaries Coalition. We will be bringing you announcement of the verdict as soon as it comes in to us. Keep in mind that Officer Goodson has been charged with six counts, the most serious of which is second-degree depraved heart murder. That carries a potential sentence of 30 years in prison. He's also been charged with involuntary manslaughter, a sentence in that category up to 10 years in prison, along with second-degree assault, which also carries a 10-year prison sentence. He's also been charged with manslaughter by vehicle gross negligence. That carries as much as 5 years, along with manslaughter by vehicle criminal negligence, another potentially 5-year prison sentence. He's also been charged with misconduct in office. Officer Goodson's trial originally scheduled to begin back in January, but you'll recall that there was a hung jury in the first of the six trials for Officer William Porter. That happened in December, and then that set the whole schedule of all the remaining trials in a complete tizzy, and they reconfigured everything. In fact, Officer Goodson's trial actually began about a week ago Thursday on June 9th. In between Officer Porter's trial and Officer Goodson's trial, we had the trial of Edward Nero. He, like Officer Goodson, opted for a bench trial. He was acquitted by Judge Barry Williams on all four counts, of all four misdemeanor counts in which he was charged. So again, we are waiting for the verdict to come from Courthouse East. Judge Barry Williams, who has presided over all three of these trials, will deliver his verdict, we believe, sometime within the hour. Officer Goodson chose not to testify in his trial. He is the only one of six officers who actually did not make a statement to investigators after the incident with Mr. Gray that led to his death about a week later. Mike Higginbotham joins me here in the studio from the University of Baltimore School of Law. These charges are very serious. They're the most serious charges of any of the six officers indicted in this case. What does the prosecution have to prove to convict Officer Goodson of second-degree depraved heart murder?
Well, look, all eyes are on Judge Williams. No question about that. He's done a good job up to this point, and I think that he will clearly, as you say, there will clearly be a decision made today.
Yeah, we're not going to have a hung jury because there's no jury.
we definitely aren't going to have the hung jury, so we will have a decision today. And I think what's clear in terms of what needs to be established is that there was an opportunity. There was an opportunity for Goodson to seatbelt properly Gray. If that was not done, if there was an opportunity to do it, that was not done, then he has established that he has been depraved in terms of his responsibility. So that's depraved heart murder.
And so in a lot of ways, this is all about what Officer Goodson did not do. It's what he neglected to do in a lot of ways rather than what he did.
What he should have done and what he did not do.
Mm-hmm. And Ray Kelly, as folks, you've been a community activist in this area for a long time. Folks were obviously very heartened to hear from State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby just a few days after the unrest that followed Freddie Gray's funeral, bring these indictments against these officers. But now we've had two in which a guilty verdict has eluded prosecutors. And we have a third, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But we'll find out within the next half hour, we hope. What do you think the mood on the street is among the community? And what do you think their expectation is for this trial in particular?
So I would have to say that most of our concerns are for our community, and it's due to lack of faith in the actual judicial system. Just the history kind of tells us that this won't fare good for us in the courtroom. We remain optimistic. We hope that some time during this whole process, humanity will kind of enter and someone will say that someone has to be responsible for human life, but just the structure of the system itself, we don't have a lot of confidence that that is going to be the outcome. So we are kind of appealing to our communities to kind of maintain their anger and outrage, which there will be, and consider where we live.
And of course, the city did settle or offer a settlement to the Gray family, paid a settlement to the Gray family of more than $6 million. Of course, their attorney got probably about $2 million of that. But how does that play into this? Does that in any way, you know, exonerate the city from charges that they're not taking responsibility?
No, because really for the community and all of the black urban communities around Baltimore, justice doesn't come from a settlement or a verdict. Until you actually change the systemic issues, the policies that kind of allow this to happen constantly in our communities, we will not receive justice. We'll, if there's a guilty verdict, there'll be a small amount of recognition and accountability. But really, until we actually change the structure of this oppressive type department, we're going to be in the same situation. This is going to be one family that finally got to feel like they were adjudicated. But really, there is no justice if we have to live in the same situation.
And certainly it's one family out of many families who've had
Correct.
Very similar experiences to the Gray family. That's Ray Kelly, the president of the No Boundaries Coalition, joining me along with Professor F. Michael Higginbotham from the University of Baltimore School of Law. On the phone is Rachel Bay, WYPR's Annapolis reporter and part of our news team. Rachel, you're outside the courtroom in Courthouse East. What's the scene out there?
The scene right now is actually there seems to be a huddle around the steps. It looks like someone's coming out of the courthouse now. But for the most part, it's mostly media here right now. There are two groups that are protesting, the People's Power Assembly and the Revolutionary Communist Party, who actually are dressed somewhat like Black Panthers. That they are expressing a real lack of faith in the system right now. They're assuming that Officer Goodson is going to be acquitted, that he's not going to end up being found guilty on any of the charges just because that's the way the system is set up.
All right, Rachel, we are getting reports on Twitter and confirmed by WBAL Television and Fox 45 Television that the judge has declared a not guilty verdict on the charge of second-degree depraved heart murder. That was the most serious charge that Officer Goodson faced. It is one of six charges that he faced, and Judge Barry Williams has awarded a not guilty verdict on the charge of second-degree depraved heart murder. Mike Higginbotham, you talked about what the prosecution had to prove. Obviously, they were not able to do that. Do you think there was any particular hole in their argument, any particular deficit in the strategy they used to try to convince the judge that Officer Goodson was in fact guilty of that?
Well, there were certainly... you know, what they needed to establish was whether he properly seat-belted him, whether he was given a rough ride, whether he called for medical attention in a timely fashion. And I think on all three of those aspects, there wasn't enough testimony to establish clearly that that was not done. And so I think that's the problem with trying to get a conviction on that.
The fact that it wasn't done, is it also possible that even if they were to have acceded that as a matter of fact, that he didn't do these things, mm-hmm. that he still did not act unreasonably? It seemed that the defense was that the things that he did were reasonable within the context of his protocols and actions as a police officer doing his job.
Well, there was no direct testimony of somebody seeing that there was a rough ride being given. There was no direct testimony that that occurred. And so I think, the judge was looking for that aspect. You know, is there testimony to establish that these things were not done or that these things were done in an illegal manner?
Yeah, so testimony really matters, obviously.
It really does. Whether you have, testimony or whether you have videotape, something you need to establish. And clearly that was not done.
I mean, Ray Kelly, certainly it would be foolish to think that rough rides never happened in the history of the Baltimore Police Department.
Right.
But again, proving that a rough ride happened in this instance seems to have been too daunting a task for the prosecution in this case.
And I think, once again, no one's surprised. This is the system that we have to deal with every day. These are our recommendations to change these type of policies where, in the end, who is responsible for life? If he's in custody, what does that say to a population that already dealing with this type of misconduct and abuse? You got to prove that you were sped around a corner and had a rough ride when you're dead. How can you prove that? Who is to say this was a rough ride? And how do you prove anything when the police department controls the camera, they control the data, they control the testimony? Where this is the system we're up against. This is what has to change.
And Rachel Bay, are you still with me? What's the reaction on the street at this point? Has word filtered out to the folks on Calvert Street that at least in terms of the charge of second-degree depraved heart murder, Officer Goodson has been acquitted of that charge?
Yes, definitely. Word has come out. Like I said, there's media crowding the courtroom door, and the protesters have all gravitated in that direction. They're shouting that all six officers, referring, of course, to all six of the officers who are on trial following the death of Freddie Gray, they're saying that all six officers are guilty of murder. And it really reflects this kind of sentiment that's pervading right now that the system is rigged against them, against their community, in favor of the police, feeling like, this was just what the outcome that they were expecting.
There's certainly, we're seeing some pictures being streamed on the internet here in Studio A at WYPR, certainly a large scrum of people there. Can you give a guesstimate in your estimate about how many of them are protesters and how many of them are media?
A lot of them are media, and actually a lot of them are onlookers, it looks like. People who are not necessarily protesters, but just here, seeing what the reaction is. They're not shouting anything or holding signs. But the protesters, I'd say, last time I looked, maybe about a dozen, not that many.
On 88.1 WYPR, you're listening to special coverage in the verdict on the trial of Caesar Goodson. He is one of six officers charged in the arrest and death of Freddie Gray last April. Michael Higginbotham from the University of Baltimore School of Law joins me in the studio along with Ray Kelly. He's the president of the No Boundaries Coalition. Rachel Bay from the WYPR News Department is outside the courtroom outside Courthouse East on Calvert Street. Inside the courtroom, P. Kenneth Burns is there. He's been attending the trial each day of this trial as well as the two that preceded it. Debbie Hines, a Washington, D.C.-based trial lawyer and former Baltimore prosecutor, is also inside the courtroom. When they come out of the courtroom, we'll check in with them and talk to them. If you've just joined us, the charge of second-degree depraved heart murder, which carried with it a prison sentence of potentially 30 years, is the first charge addressed by Judge Williams as he reads his verdict in the court as we speak. Judge Williams has declared Officer Goodson not guilty of the charge of second-degree depraved heart murder. Mike Higginbotham, the fact that the judge has ruled that he's not guilty of the second-degree depraved heart murder, what does that indicate? Does that indicate anything about the other charges? I mean, there are six very distinct, separate charges. Reading the tea leaves, would it be likely that the judge said, no, he didn't do second-degree depraved heart murder, but it's still quite possible that he's guilty of these other things?
I think it is quite possible that he may be guilty of one or more of the charges. But I think this does indicate, and if you look at the previous decision as well, it does indicate that the prosecution may not have met its burden here.
On 88.1, it's WYPR. Again, you're listening to live coverage, special coverage in the verdict of Officer Caesar Goodson. Let me remind you of what happened in the two previous trials in mid-December, December 16th. Officer William Porter, the first officer to be indicted and tried in the arrest and death of Freddie Gray, had a mistrial. It was a hung jury. There were four counts put up against Officer Porter. The jury favored acquittal on two of those accounts. One of them was involuntary manslaughter. That is also a charge that Officer Goodson is facing today. And the other was second-degree assault. The jurors split, could not come to a unanimous decision, but they favored acquittal on those two counts. They favored conviction on two lesser accounts. One was reckless endangerment, and the other misconduct in office. We are now getting more reports in from Courthouse East. The charge, again, recapping the first one Judge Barry Williams issued a not guilty verdict in the charge of second degree depraved heart murder. And now WBAL and the Baltimore Sun reporting that Judge Williams has declared Officer Goodson not guilty on all counts. There are six counts that were put against Officer Goodson, and Judge Barry Williams ruling from the bench as per the request of Officer Goodson. He opted not to have a jury trial, and the judge, Judge Barry Williams, a highly respected jurist in the Eighth Circuit District Court, has pronounced Officer Caesar Goodson, 46 years old, an African-American police officer who's been on the force for 17 years. He has been declared not guilty on all six counts. So the counts, again, that he faced: second-degree depraved heart murder, involuntary manslaughter, second-degree assault, manslaughter by vehicle gross negligence, manslaughter by vehicle criminal negligence, and misconduct in office. All six counts, Officer Caesar Goodson is now a free man. Ray Kelly, this, as you said, this is something that's not perhaps unexpected, but where's your gut right now?
It's definitely disheartening to a community where the perception to our community is no one is responsible for your life. This is what every black young man in our community is going to say, that this is what can happen if you ever break the law, because really he didn't break the law this time. He's dead. No one's responsible for it. And there are thousands, tens of thousands of us in the community that have to deal with that same type of situation. And we have to take a stand. You have to recognize that people are going to be outraged. And this is what has to be focused towards this whole DOJ investigation and the consent decree process. This is what we have to change.
On 881, if you're just joining us, I'm Tom Hall. We're giving you live special coverage and the verdict of the trial of Officer Cesar Goodson here on WYPR. He has been declared not guilty by Judge Barry Williams. Joining me on the phone now is P. Kenneth Burns, the Metro reporter for WYPR. He has been in the courtroom for the entire trial of Officer Goodson, as well as the trials of Edward Nero and William Porter. Kenny, what was the mood inside the courtroom as the judge read his verdict?
Well, I could tell you, Tom, that State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby had her head down for much of it as the judge was reading her verdict, his verdict, rather. Goodson and his legal team, they were looking straight at the judge. Janice Bledsoe, Deputy State's Attorney, was kind of sitting back in her chair with her hands crossed, for lack of better terms. And the one thing I could tell you is that her repeatedly is that there was no evidence. The state presented no evidence. The state did not prove beyond a reasonable doubt.
So the judge, obviously, a legal scholar, looking, as Professor Higginbotham was just saying, that, you know, there had to be physical evidence. So the fact that there was no videotape of the rough ride, the fact that there were no witnesses to say the van swerved this way or that way, you think that was really the ultimate deciding factor for the judge in this case?
In fact, Judge Barry Williams said that the court reviewed the video 15 times. He's specifically talking about the video and the stills. I saw several stills. I think he said more than 30 of them at the intersection of Fremont and Riggs, where the state alleged that the rough ride took place, a wide turn at a stop sign. The judge said that there's no proof that Goodson stopped before the stop sign or stopped at all, and he can't assume. Actually, I have the quote right here that the state wants the court to assume that Goodson definitely intentionally wanted to hurt Gray, but the court cannot assume that based on what they presented.
And Kenny, what was Officer Goodson's reaction when these verdicts were read?
The court was adjourned. It looked like I didn't get a good look because there were people standing up. But it looked like the defense attorneys and Goodson were hugging each other. You also had Officer Nero, Officer Miller in the courtroom as well. They were hugging, as well as Gary Proctor. He was also on hand to watch the verdict. Gary Proctor is Officer William Porter's lawyer.
F. Michael Higginbotham from University of Baltimore School of Law. There have been those who've speculated that because now the prosecution has failed to prove the case in three trials. Now, they didn't lose the first trial against Officer Porter. He has been scheduled. There's a retrial scheduled for him later this year. But there have been some that have said if they can't get a conviction in any of these three cases, that moving ahead with the next three cases is going to be very difficult. Do you think there's a possibility that they will simply drop the charges in the next three cases, or would you expect them to soldier on?
Well, that's always a possibility, but I would expect them to soldier on. These are critical cases. The community's watching. A lot of attention is being paid around the country to this, and so I would expect them to continue with these cases. As Ray indicated, it's not a surprise. This was supposed to be the strongest case. Porter was also supposed to be a strong case, and the reporting on this was that there hadn't been proper evidence put forward to establish a conviction. So I think people are not going to be that surprised. On the other hand, I do think there's some positive aspects to having brought three prosecutions thus far, and I think a lot of times we overlook that. One is that prosecutions are rarely brought against police officers in this country. And so the fact that you had a prosecution brought in three cases, I think indicates a very important aspect. There's a lot of secrecy that surrounds these cases, and prosecutions help to bring to light what's actually going on. So I think that's very important that these cases were brought.
And Ray Kelly, in terms of the people of color in this city, and the people of color, the communities, a distrust of the system, the community's disengagement and disenfranchisement from the legal system, the repeated history of police misconduct and police brutality, as many people have described it over, you know, many decades. What role does the fact that the judge in this case is an experienced civil rights lawyer who has, in fact, prosecuted police before in his career. He's a respected jurist. He is an African-American. The fact that he has weighed the evidence here instead of a jury, what do you think that's going to matter? How do you think that may matter as people understand and start thinking about and pondering this verdict?
I don't think it will. I think really we saw how the system has been stacked against us for years, where we didn't expect one man. We didn't really put the burden on Judge Williams as much as we're going up against this whole system that's structured against us, where if it's not the technicality of what was videotaped, for us, all that legalese just means that no one is responsible for your lives. So once again, we don't put a lot of faith in the whole judiciary system. And I don't question Judge Williams' humanity or anything like that. I understand that there's a legal process, but once again, we see it as this system that's built against us more so than what Judge Williams does himself. And obviously, it unveils itself once again.
And Kenny Burns, are you still with me from Courthouse News?
I'm still here, Tom.
When you're in the courtroom, you described Marilyn Mosby having her head down. She is, of course, the state's attorney who is the person who brought these charges against these six officers. You described the reaction of the prosecutorial team. That team is going to change in the trials that are upcoming, and that has to do with the fact that they were involved in the previous trials, and some of the testimony from those previous trials will become very important in these upcoming trials. But, I mean, do you get a sense from them, did you get a sense from them throughout this trial that they thought they were really behind the eight ball on this one and they were going to have a difficult time? It seemed that even in the closing arguments, Judge Williams was pretty rough on the prosecution, demanding clarification on a lot of things before he even started deciding, pondering his decision.
Well, Tom, specifically, Judge Williams pressed the prosecution on their rough ride theory. At one point, asking Chief Deputy State's Attorney Michael Schatzo during the rebuttal argument, show me how it's a rough ride. In other words, show me that Officer Goodson had performed a rough ride. Show me elements, any elements that a rough ride took place. And that was due because of the closing argument that Deputy State's Attorney Jan Bledsoe had said that they completely abandoned the rough ride argument. They argued that Goodson knew Gray needed medical attention and that he did not render it. Now, it should be noted that during the verdict, that the judge generally said that Goodson acted as any reasonable officer would, that the type of injuries that Freddie Gray suffered these happened internally. It's not like it was a car accident where if you show up to the scene and you see somebody, the injury is obvious, whether it's a broken limb or a laceration somewhere. But with the type of injury Freddie Gray had, it happened internally. You couldn't tell that it even happened just by looking at it, and that an average officer would have take the same type of actions that Officer Goodson would.
That's P. Kenneth Burns. He's the Metro reporter for WYPR Radio, just outside the courtroom now in Courthouse East on Calvert Street, where he's been following the trial of Officer Cesar Goodson. This is your public radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR and WYPR HD1 Baltimore, WYPF Frederick, WYPO Ocean City, and online at WYPR.org, your NPR news station. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to special coverage of the verdict in the trial of Officer Cesar Goodson. He was the driver of the van in which Freddie Gray suffered injuries that led to his death about a week after the day he was detained and arrested by Baltimore Police. Judge Barry Williams, if you've just joined us, has declared Officer Goodson not guilty on all six counts that he faced in this trial that began a week ago Thursday. Those counts included second-degree depraved heart murder, involuntary manslaughter, second-degree assault, manslaughter by vehicle gross negligence, manslaughter by vehicle criminal negligence, and misconduct in office. Again, Judge Barry Williams ruling from the bench this morning on Calvert Street in downtown Baltimore that Officer Cesar Goodson, 46-year-old, 17-year veteran of the Baltimore City Police Department, not guilty on all six charges. The next trial that is scheduled is that of Lieutenant Brian Rice. He is the senior ranking member of the police department who was involved in this case. His trial set to begin on July 5th. Mike Higginbotham, when people hear reckless endangerment or misconduct in office, that seems to a lot of people to be a somewhat lower bar to reach for a guilty verdict than something like second-degree depraved heart murder. I mean, misconduct in office, obviously, this is a healthy 25-year-old man who is, once he becomes in the custody of the police department, is dead a week later. That has to indicate some sort of misconduct by somebody. But now in three cases, officers charged with misconduct in office have not been proven guilty. What's your take on that?
Well, I think the question is absolutely a correct one. I think that a lot of people in Baltimore and around the country say, you know, you have a young man who is arrested and taken to, you know, the police station, and he ends up dying. Something must have gone wrong. And so I think a lot of people are saying somebody did something wrong. You know, Porter, they say, well, he said, it's not me, it's somebody else. Goodson, it's not me, it's somebody else. But somebody did something wrong. And I think that's the real concern. You know, if you don't have evidence of a rough ride, if you don't have evidence that medical attention was not called in a timely way, there's still something that went wrong for this young man to have died.
And again, when it comes to responsibility, when it comes to accountability, the $6.2 million settlement just doesn't reach the bar for really accepting responsibility on behalf of the city. Ray Kelly, let's give your final thoughts before we get back to Diane Rehm.
Right. And like I said, the $6.2 million is only recourse to a family that happened to get a favorable settlement from the city, where this happens all the time. No laws have been changed. There's still no accountability. At what point do our lives matter? It's a sad state that we're in, and it's nationwide, and there's a lot of attention being brought to it, where at this point, I can only call to the community to express their outrage, but civilly, because without that, we have nothing. We have to expose that this is wrong.
All right, well, we're going to return to our regular programming now, but Ray Kelly from No Boundaries Coalition, Mike Higginbotham from the University of Baltimore School of Law, thank you for your time. Rachel Bay, thank you, and thank you to Kenny Burns. We will continue our coverage. You have been listening to WIPR's special coverage of the verdict in the trial of Officer Cesar Goodson, the third of six officers to stand trial in the arrest and death of Freddie Gray last year. Officer Goodson has been found not guilty by Judge Barry Williams, who delivered his verdict this morning to a packed courtroom in Courthouse East in downtown Baltimore. Officer Brian Rice is the next of the six officers to stand trial. His trial is slated to begin on July 5th. Stay with WIPR for continuing coverage of the verdict in the trial of Officer Cesar Goodson today at noon, on Midday with Sheila Cast, and this evening during All Things Considered. Tomorrow morning on Maryland Morning, Edward Smith and David Juros will join me for further analysis. For the WIPR News Team, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Here's Nathan Sterner.